Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God. In reference to the angels, the writer to the Hebrews states in Hebrews 1, 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" I began this particular series on angels just a couple of weeks ago to rehearse some of the things that we've talked about. We understand that angels are spiritually created beings, created sometime before the creation of the world, and yet within that six-day time frame where God was exerting His creative powers over the universe. We understand that angels are free moral agents, that they are intelligent, that they are powerful. From there, we move to the understanding that angels are our protectors. And last week, we talked about how there are different stories in the Scripture to give us ideas of how God uses the administration of His angels to bring protection to the saints of God. I will readily share with you that the reasons behind my beginning this series were twofold, really. It is not so long before we enter into the Christmas season, and the Christmas season is that one time of the year that is absolutely angel-filled. And so I wanted us to have a very good basic understanding of the biblical teaching concerning angels before we got into Christmas this year. Because I find that angels by believers are either looked at almost as the point of demigods where they are worshipped, or the exact opposite takes place, and that is that they are never mentioned by believers. And so I wanted us to be firmly grounded in what the Scripture has to say about angels before we began the life of Christ. However, I will tell you, though that was my reasoning, God has worked in my life to bring about a little bit different result. For I'm going to tell you, in the past few weeks, what I have experienced among folks, I've received more phone calls. I've done more counseling, both on the phone and here at the office and in people's houses and living rooms and the like, with marital difficulties than I can remember in a long time. Now, it's not that those of us who are married don't face trials and tribulations on a regular basis. It's not that as married couples, we don't have to constantly work at what it means to be married. I understand that. But for whatever reason, there are all kinds of marriages that I considered extremely grounded. I had a call from a fellow the other day, and he and his wife, I've been married 26 years, he and his wife have been married 36 years. They have five grown children, grandchildren. And he calls me and he said, "My marriage is falling apart." I said, "Wait a second, let me back up a little bit." I said, "You've been married how long?" He said, "36 years. I said, "Well, has this been a bumpy, rocky road the whole time? And be honest with me." He said, "Listen," he said, "I'm telling you, these have been the 36 greatest years of my life." And all of a sudden, it is coming apart at the seams. I'm also dealing with couples from other churches in our area who have called me, and I'm talking with them on Sunday afternoons and Monday nights and the like, who are coming to me for marriage counseling. And there's a whole range of problems out there. It's everything from money to communication and the like. And so all of a sudden, in the middle of this sermon series on angels, particularly as I began to talk about the fact that angels are our protectors, I am experiencing this world of problems within the lives of married couples. And I really believe that this particular series, though I had in my mind to get us ready for Christmas, God had something else in mind. That God really wanted me to begin to relate to His people how He desires and works within our lives to protect us. That we are not alone. That we are surrounded, as Tony said, by a vast army, the very army of God. In our individual lives, in our married lives, in our family lives, with our kids, in our work life, in our church life, that we are literally surrounded by these spiritual beings who are all for us, that God is for us. God is not against us. And yet, because God is God and we are not, even though that we know that the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence within us, even though, as we're going to preach in just a moment, that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, there is something about the fact that because God is God, that sometimes we feel like He cannot relate to us. He has never sinned. Even though the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points like we are tempted, yet without sin. Even though we know that God cares for us, even though we know that God loves us beyond imagination, still there is sometimes this gap between us and God to where we feel alone. And to know that God has created these personal, powerful beings to administrate His love and His justice and His cause upon the earth, and then has surrounded us as believers with these spiritual beings, I'm finding is giving folks great hope. Not for the worship of angels, because only God is worthy of our worship, but to know that this infinite loving God has done this for us. God didn't have to. God does not need angels. God could have created the universe and administered the universe any way He desired. God does not need us. And yet in His infinite wisdom and grace and love, He has chosen to create us, and He chose to create angels for us. And so it becomes very important that we understand this biblical teaching of this army of God that is right now surrounding us, because I realize that there are a number of us that are going through very difficult times. It may not be in your marriage. It may be in another area of your life. I simply mention the fact of family difficulties and marital difficulties because right now that is what I am absolutely surrounded with on an everyday basis. And if it gives you hope to know that God has created these spiritual powerful beings to surround you and protect you in the midst of these difficult times, then I have had great success. We have talked about angels as powerful. We have talked about angels as our protectors. Today I want to turn our focus and I want to sharpen it just a little bit. I want us to ask the question, but what is the message of the angels? I mean, this verse says in verse number 14 that they were created. He does it by way of a question, but the answer is in the affirmative. He is saying these angelic beings have been sent, as it says, to render service to us. It is not simply for our protection that they have come. For the angels that we know of from Scripture speak. And what is it that they speak? What is it that you and I need to know today in our lives that the angels have said? Now, throughout Scriptures, the scripture, there are a number of conversations that the angels have with individuals. I want to hone in today on four of those conversations, because I believe that we will find their entire message summed up in these four points. And we start in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Take your Bibles and turn there with me, if you would. Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke. What is it that the angels have spoken to us? Luke chapter 1 tells the Christmas story. It is, of course, about Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, according to verse number 26, the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel, according to the book of Daniel, is the one who stands in the presence of God. So here's what I want you to understand. The message of the angels for humanity is a direct revelation from the throne of God to humanity. In other words, the angels are speaking to us what God has revealed to them for us. Remember Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. They are all ministering spirits sent to render service to those who are being saved. So if they are sent by God to render this service, and this service involves protection, it also involves a specific message. And God has revealed this message to them. Gabriel was one of those who was a recipient of this revelation. And he came and he visited a young lady by the name of Mary. And notice what he says to her. He tells her that she is going to have a child. Mary, in verse 34, says, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" Notice what the message of Gabriel is. Verse 35, Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Of God. What is the first component of the message of the angels to humanity? It is simply this: God became a man. God became a man. Now, in this particular instance, before Jesus was born, Gabriel's message is God is going to become a man. But since this is us now looking back at the past, we say God has become a man. Now, I know that when it says that God became a man, it is talking specifically about God the Son, that one that we now call Jesus Christ. I know that the Father did not become a man. I know that the Holy Spirit did not become a man. Only God the Son, the second person of the divine Trinity, became a man. That is the message of the Gospels. I know that Jesus is all God and all man. There was a time when he was simply all God. But from the point that Gabriel came and gave the message to Mary, from that time into eternity into the future, God the Son is also a man. That is very important. Jesus is all God. Jesus is all man. Now, there is more to God than Jesus, because there is also the Father and the Holy Spirit. But by the Father's command, the Son, subordinating himself to the will of the Father, took up human form. God became a man. Now, why did he become a man? He became a man because you and I could not possibly save ourselves. In the midst of our sin, the Bible tells us that there is absolutely no hope of heaven for us. In the midst of our sin, there is no hope for our dysfunctional families. In the midst of our sin, there is no hope for our world. So God decided to do what we have failed to do. God became a man to complete the mission of humanity. In his taking on human form, he actually really was a man. He really was tempted. without sin. He really did experience all of the things that you and I experience in life. And yet, he overcame all of those things. God became a man to secure the forgiveness of our sins. God became a man so that you and I might have a marriage where forgiveness is the base, and that marriage can last through the ugliest of times. God became a man to show us how the Father truly loves the Son, that you and I may know how to truly love our children. God became a man. That is the first component of the message of the angels. What is the second component? Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. The first component, God became a man. Luke chapter 24. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, this is after Jesus has been crucified and buried. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices, which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly appeared in dazzling clothes. Suddenly appeared, these are angels, in the form of men. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, that is the angels, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee." The second component of the message. Now let's think about this. The first component, God became a man. And as a real man, he lived a life, and the Bible says that he suffered and he bled and he died and he was buried. The second component of the angel's message to humanity is he is not here, he is risen from the dead. Now, the Bible tells us of a number of individuals who have been risen from the dead. Beginning in the Old Testament, the Bible lays out that this great miracle, and that is, I mean, let's be honest, the miracle of miracles would be to bring the dead back to life. And the Bible says that that began even in the Old Testament. That the Old Testament prophets were able by the power of God to raise the dead. Further, it says that Jesus during his ministry was able to raise the dead. It then goes further still and it tells us that the apostles of Jesus, by the divine power of God dwelling within them, were also able to raise the dead. But every person that the prophets raised, every person that Jesus raised in his lifetime, and every person that the apostles raised, all died again. And in each instance, there was a mediator that mediated the rising of the dead body back to life. However, with the person of Jesus Christ, the God who became a man, that is not the case. The Bible tells us in one instance that it was the Father that raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible tells us in another instance that it was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible also mentions the fact that Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. Why does it say that? Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, although three distinct personalities, are the one God, and they were in agreement that the God-man had paid the price for sin, had died a vicarious death for our sins, a death that he did not deserve, and that he would be vindicated and triumph over the powers of darkness, and he was raised from the dead without a mediator. That has never been done before or since. Further, the Bible tells us that the God-man, Jesus Christ, who died, who was buried, and who rose again, is alive today and forevermore. He will never experience death again. That is the message of the angels. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a moment with me before we go further. You say, now, wait a second, Chuck. That's what I've heard all my life in the church. You're just giving me the basics of the gospel. You are exactly right. I am telling you that for 2,000 years, the message that gospel preachers have preached Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday is nothing less than the message of the angels. You see, it was not a man nor even a woman that preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ first. It was the angels of Almighty God that preached the message of the resurrection of Jesus to humanity before they went out and preached that message. We are today preaching the message of the angels. The first component, God became a man. The second component, the God-man Jesus who died, rose again, and lives forevermore. But I told you there were four components. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 1. At Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus has been, after his resurrection, with the disciples for 40 days. Notice and pick up the story with me, if you would, Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. And after Jesus had said these things, he gave some instructions to his disciples. He was lifted up while they were looking, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while Jesus was going, behold, two men, again, these are angelic beings who have taken on the form of human beings. Two men in white clothing stood beside them. And the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same manner as you have watched him go into heaven." What is the message of the angels? God became a man. What is the message of the angels? The God-man Jesus rose from the dead. What is the message of the angels? The God-man Jesus has ascended into heaven. That is the message of the angels. The God-man Jesus has ascended into heaven. Later on, they tell us that he sits at the right hand of the Father. And that is a phrase or a statement, because we know that the Father is a spirit. That is a phrase or a statement that literally means that Jesus has been invested with all of the power and the majesty of Almighty God over all of the universe. Now, on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, the church and I are going through the book of Colossians. And one of the things that we discovered that the book of Colossians said in Colossians chapter 1 is that Jesus Christ created everything that was as God the Son. And as God the Son, everything that was created for Him. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1. Now, I want you to think about that thought. If everything was created by God the Son, the one who became a man, who now sits on the throne of the universe, if he is the one who created everything, and everything was created for him, not only through him and by him, but for him, then the purpose of my life, the purpose and the goal of the universe, the purpose and the goal of my marriage, the purpose and the goal of my children, the purpose and the goal of this church is Jesus. He is the ultimate purpose of everything. And the message of the angels confirms it. Because the message of the angels is all about Jesus. God became a man. The God-man who lived and died and bled and was buried rose again. And thirdly, the God-man went into heaven and he's coming again. Did you notice that? The angels standing there with the disciples right outside of the city of Jerusalem. Jesus has been lifted up into the clouds. And they said, listen, this same Jesus, the God-man, that you saw go up and assume the throne of Almighty God in heaven itself will return in like manner. He is coming again. He not only ascended, but he's coming again. And this fourth component is very important because it links that next coming. Look with me, if you would, at Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has received a vision of divine things and of things to come. And in Daniel chapter 7, he doesn't understand everything that the vision says. And so he asked an angel, actually Gabriel, who is standing close by to explain to him the vision he has received. And the angel, Gabriel, gives the culmination of the vision this way. In verse 27 of Daniel chapter 7, the angel explains to Daniel and says, then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom, that is the kingdom of Christ, will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. The message of the angels is that right now, at present, on the throne of the universe sits a man who is also God. The message of the angels is that that God-man, Jesus Christ, not only died for us, but that he rose again of his own power and of his own will. The message of the angels is that the God-man, Jesus Christ, ascended into heaven and will return one day. The fourth component of the message of the angels is that when he will return as the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is who he really was all the time. You see, when he first came, we celebrate the Christmas story. When the God-man first came, he humbled himself. Being born of a virgin, he was born into a family of abject poverty. The Bible says that as an adult, he knew poverty so well that he did not even have a place to call his own. The way it says it in the old King James was he didn't have a place to lay his own head. The Bible tells us that the message of the angels is that that's how he came the first time to secure your salvation and my salvation, but that's not how he's coming the second time. That the second time he's coming, he's not coming to secure our salvation. He's already done that on the cross of Calvary and through the empty tomb. The second time that Jesus Christ, the God-man, comes, he is coming to make that salvation that he secured fruition and a reality upon the earth. You see, right now, I may know I'm saved by the witness of the Holy Spirit within me, but it may not look like I'm saved. I still am in this fleshly body. I still sin. I still get sick. I'm still going to die one day. I still know pain. I still know suffering. But the Bible says that when the God-man appears, I will be made like him. And I will never again know sin. I will never again know pain. I will never again know suffering. And I will never, ever again know death. Why? Because there is a man that sits on the throne of the universe. And he is Jesus Christ, the God who became a man. That is the message of the angels. And it is still the message of God, gospel preachers to this very day. And it will be a message of gospel preachers and of Christians until the God-man returns. Are you ready for his return?